Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities, hosting planning seminars at 6:30 p.m. Tuesday, March 3rd in Watseka, Illinois, and at 3 p.m. Wednesday, March 4th in Terre Haute, Indiana. More information is available at 866-837-9027.
Thanks for listening to Morning Edition this morning on WILL AM 580 and FM 90.9 HD2 and HD3. It's time now for the pre-opening commodity market reports, and here's Dave Dickey. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Jay, and good Monday morning, everyone. The Commerce Department today says that U.S. consumer spending rebounded in January, snapping 6 months of declines, and incomes rose unexpectedly, boosted by salary increases for government employees. Spending rose by 0.6%. The largest increase since May, after falling by an unrevised 1% in December. Incomes advanced by 0.4%, also posting the biggest increase since May. Analysts had forecast spending rising by 0.4% and incomes slipping by 0.2%. American International Group, once the world's largest insurer, today says it lost $61.7 billion in the fourth quarter, the biggest quarterly loss in U.S. corporate history. The results come as the U.S. government today announced a restructuring of a bailout plan for the troubled insurer, extending $30 billion in additional aid to the company. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 69.76 is down 86 points. The NASDAQ 13.69 down 8.65. And the S&P 500 at 7.24 is down 10.30.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Mark your calendar now for the 2009 All-Day Agriculture Outlook meeting. It's set for March 10th at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Full details are on our website at willag.org. Thanks to these agribusinesses for helping to support this year's meeting, ADM, Cargill, Bates Commodities, and Cadent EFG Risk Management Commodities. Joining us now with a first look at the agricultural forecast for the week is our very own AM 580's Mike Sola. Good morning, Mike.
Well, good morning, Dave. In South America, very little rain fell in Argentina over the weekend, but a few thunderstorms did start to pop up during the afternoon, Sunday, yesterday, and early this morning. Some locations picked up as much as 2 inches of rain, that in a small part of northwestern Santa Fe. 1 to 2 inches of rain fell in northeastern Buenos Aires, and other amounts were generally less than a half inch. Coverage of measurable precipitation was in the 25% to 30% range. The main rain event for this week in Argentina will be later today and tomorrow, with a few storms lingering in the northeast on Wednesday. Generally looking for a third of an inch to a full inch in a few locations, could be in the 1 to 2.5 inch amounts. Cordoba and Entre Rios will be the wettest. Precipitation will prove to be supportive for most summer crop areas across the nation, with coverage almost 100%. Follow-up rain will still be needed in some of the driest areas in the southern portion of Argentina. Generally, they're looking at a summer crop condition that will not change much over the next week to two. Timely rainfall expected to leave soil conditions mostly favorable. There will be some improvements in a few of the drought-stricken areas of the south. Locally heavy rainfall is expected or is possible in those areas today and tomorrow. However, most of the south will get just enough rain to keep stress from getting any worse. The soybean areas in central Argentina will have very good soil conditions in recent weeks, and that trend will prevail at least through the first half of the month. In Brazil, rain was reported from Mato Grosso into the western Goiás regions and Mato Grosso do Sul and northwestern São Paulo to Santa Catarina and Rio Grande do Sul over the weekend, starting Friday and ending up yesterday. A few other showers occurred in extreme northern northeastern Minas Gerais into southern Bahia. Rainfall totals reached over 2 inches in northeastern Mato Grosso and between 1 and 2 inches in both Santa Catarina and from southern Mato Grosso do Sul into northwestern Sao Paulo. Net drying is expected across a large portion of central and northeastern Brazil this week. Some showers are expected, but they won't be very great, and evaporative losses will probably outpace the precipitation that falls, except in a few areas that will experience a net boost in soil moisture. Greatest rainfall is expected in Rio Grande do Sul today and again Wednesday and Thursday, when a few totals do get up over the 1 inch amount. Overall, the environment will continue to be favorable for late summer crop development and the harvest progress across Brazil. Some areas in northeastern Sao Paulo, Minas Gerais, northeastern Goiás will experience some significant drying this week, but subsoil moisture should be good enough to maintain decent crop conditions. Across the Midwest, we did have a swath of significant snowfall across the western portion of the Corn Belt over the weekend. Started out in the Dakotas, rolled through Nebraska, western Iowa, and then started to drive down towards the Mississippi River, leaving as much as 6 inches of snow in southern Missouri, and then joining up with another storm that rolled through here, and the tail end of that was producing some flooding rains across a drought-stricken area. Portions of northeastern Georgia, western South Carolina, and in through western North Carolina, they've been in an extreme, severe to extreme drought in that area, and they did pick up enough rain to produce some flooding. Well, the unusually cold air will continue to give way to a warm-up over the week. Does look like the next best chance of a widespread rain for the Corn Belt will take place towards this week's end. With a look at the growing area weather, I'm Mike Sola.
In the Sunday overnight trading session, Kansas City May wheat opened at 557 3/4, down 2 1/4 last trade, down 7. The Chicago Board of Trade March wheat opened at 508, down 2 1/2, last trade down 7 3/4. May 518, down 3 1/2, last trade down 7 3/4. July 531 3/4, down 1 1/2, last trade down 7 3/4. December 577 1/4, down 2 1/2, last trade down 8 1/2. March corn opened at 350, down 3/4, last trade down 4 3/4. July 367 1/2, down 1, last trade down 5 3/4. December 388 1/4, down 2 3/4, last trade down 7. March soybeans opened at 869 1/2, down 5, last trade down 13 1/4. May 866, down 6, last trade down 12. July 870, down 5, last trade down 11 1/2. The November beans open at 823 1/4, down 4 1/4, last trade down 9 1/4. March soybean meal open at 273, down 280, last trade down 470. May 267.50, down 230, last trade down 460. March soybean oil open at 3073, down 12, last trade down 43. May 3090, down 12, last trade down 45. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Brian Maple of FC Stone & Company. He is in Indianapolis, Indiana. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Dave.
We were thinking that we were going to be able to get away, at least in the short term, from some outside market influences like the Dow and like crude and the like, that there was a beginning of a turning toward fundamental influences, and we were seeing that over the last several weeks, but it clearly looks like that's not the case, and the outside influences are back.
Yeah, it's pretty hard to get away from it when you take the Dow down below 7,000, and the dollar's making new highs here this morning, or did make new highs. It's still up towards the high, up 745 points. Crude oil is down $3.10 this morning. So your outside markets are the influence today. I don't know whether we end up totally getting away from them. At some point, I think that we will break away from them to some extent. But on the day-to-day, you got to feel like everything's going to be heavy, that we're going to be down in line with the overnight, down 5-7 cents in the corn, probably down 12-15 cents in beans. and wheat probably down 7 to 8 cents. Wheat's really the only one you can build much of a positive story on this morning. There's still concerns about the moisture inadequacies out in the southern plains, moisture issues over in China, that is probably able to find some support for the wheat market. Beans maybe to some extent, seeing China pick up another 116,000 tons of beans this morning. But, boy, it's pretty hard to find the positive side of things today.
Let's have some straight talk. Do you see any reason why we would not have a two handle in corn at some time this year?
No. I at this point, with the Dow breaking down below 7,000, that's a signal that it's got lower money ahead of it, and you're going to end up coming back and breaking that $3 mark in the March. Of course, we did break it in the D slightly back in December, but I think everything is going to turn back down that direction, and then we start moving forward from there, seeing what kind of demand base we can build. We were a little surprised with the export sales that we had in the previous 5 weeks up until this last week. Probably somewhat driven by some cheaper prices, so we might see some of that demand pop back in there. But the reality is we're in a downward trend, and at this point you have to focus on those lows that we put in somewhere around $3, and we may end up going lower than that if the Dow stays under pressure, Dave.
Thank you much, Brian.
Thanks, Dave.
Brian Maple of FC Stone & Company. He is in Indianapolis, Indiana. You're listening to WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD2 and HD3 Urbana. It's 9:01 Central Time.